the stock market goes up over time. That's just an indisputable fact. There's all sorts of inflation adjusted charts that you can look at that if you are not invested in the stock market, you are missing the stock market going up over time.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Liz Faircloth.
And this is Indra Segedelli.
We are the hosts of the Real Estate Investor Show. Considering that there is a lack of good deals right now in the market, so many real estate investors are looking elsewhere to grow their wealth and make more cash flow.
A lot of real estate investors were taught to do not even look at the stock market. But we're going against the grain here because we believe you should have tools in your toolbox, especially when the market is unpredictable. Today, we have Jamie Swartz on our podcast. She has 15 years of experience as a stock option trader. And we are going to break that down. If you are unfamiliar with it, if you're just getting started, if you want to get the knowledge about what is the best option, should you learn how to trade or should you hire a broker? Both options we're going to dissect today. Don't miss this episode and get a new tool to your toolbox. So for a lot of investors that are not finding deals that are penciling out, they're thinking about other alternative investments and stock market is one of the options. So today we're going to dissect what are the pros and cons of investing. And when women are thinking about real estate versus stock, where they should start. So Jamie, here's the question to you. Real estate versus stock market. Let's dissect what options do we have out there when the deals are not making financial sense. So Jamie, when women are thinking about investing in the stock market, they have a successful career and build a business in real estate, what factors they should consider when evaluating the stock market as an alternative option?
I think the first thing that everybody needs to get clear on for themselves is what is your risk tolerance and also what is the timeline of the investment that you're trying to make? Are you looking for a 6-month return, a 12-month return, or is this a 5 to 10 year hold situation? And then the second piece is how to make the decision of, do I want to do it myself or do I want to work with a financial advisor and just let them choose what I'm doing? And then based on the risk tolerance, the last decision is if you want to get involved, if you do want to get involved in the stock market, do you want to work with index funds like S&P 500 or other ETFs that are available? Or do you want to try the single stock game? And then my expertise on that is I trade options. So there's another strategy on top of which you can trade with either individual stocks or the index funds.
Okay, so let's dissect all of that. Let's unpack, ladies. Don't freak out. Do not get out of this. Stay in the heat with us. So you talked about time, risk tolerance, how to do it by yourself or with a trader and different types. So in terms of time, right? What are the options that I have available if I want to return a short-term investment, if I want a long-term investment, or if I was just going to sit until forever? What are the options that I have?
So the things that you might be choosing to invest in may be the same, but the risk tolerance side of it is the thing that matters. So let's say I decide I want to buy some S&P 500 shares and I'm going to use an ETF to do that. If my investment time horizon is only 3 months, then maybe I'm going to be a little bit more price sensitive to movements from now until 3 months from now. If my time horizon is 12 months, then I'm not going to care so much if S&P 500 is down in the next 3 because I'm in it for the 12-month return. So my personal preference is to trade things that don't have as much volatility. That would be my suggestion for people who are starting out. So if you just want some exposure to the stock market going up over time and you want to invest money in buying some sort of index funds, that's kind of the top recommendation that you would get from anywhere. You could create a brokerage account today. And you could do that yourself, and it's free to create an account. And in some platforms, it's free to make that trade. You just have to then decide, what is my target return and how long am I waiting for that to materialize?
I just want to summarize very quickly in terms of time, right? Because I want to make sure that women are getting what you're saying in terms of, if I want a short-term return, stock market might not be an option.
Well, it depends on what you mean by short term.
Let's say 6 months or under a year.
I think there is still, well, there's a lot of opportunity, but there's a trade-off for that. So, well, I'll flip over and talk about individual stocks for a second, because that is where a lot of the big media attention is focused, and like the social media followings are all focused on individual stocks that are moving a lot. There is definitely shorter term opportunity to make some profits doing that. The trade-off of that is it's a very high volatility investment. So there is also a lot of potential downside risk associated with some of those choices. So a good example of that right now would be Bitcoin just created. There's a whole bunch of exchange traded funds, ETFs on Bitcoin now. And I have a lot of people asking me, what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on this? Because those are going straight up right now. That's a very casino. To me, it's a very casino-like, it feels like a casino and gambling. And yes, they're going up right now, but if it reaches the top, then the downside could be very fast and very aggressive. So just understanding those trade-offs is important too.
So is the thinking that the bigger the gain on the back end, the bigger the hit, if you will? Is that fair?
Yeah. So the volatility being high just means it moves a lot. So if a stock or whatever you're thinking you might want to invest in is up 10, 20, 50%, in the last month, then you also have to understand that that could be down 50% in the following month.
So when we think about how to invest, right? And we have two groups inside our community. We have the women that are like, let me take the reins of it, open up an account today and start trading. I'm going to be self-taught and go for it. And we have another group of people that are like, please, no, thank you. I want to go to a separate path, hire somebody that will do that for me. So let's dissect those two things, because it's very different than blue collar that are going to just hire somebody at Fidelity or other brokerages and just like close their eyes and let that go. The women in our community, independently of what path do they choose, they want a more custom concierge per se that is based on recommendations based on where they want to be and their goals and what they value. So the path for like self-taught that want to trade by themselves, what would you recommend and what are the risks?
The first thing I recommend is getting some sort of baseline education. But I think one of the most effective ways to do that is to go open a trading account, and almost all of them have tools in there where you can have what they call a paper portfolio, which is a fake portfolio that doesn't have real money in it, and make the trades. Do the very baseline research. Also, most of those brokerage platforms have a lot of educational resources in there to understand like what is a stock, what is an ETF, what does that mean, what is an index fund. If I buy and hold, how do I watch like what the profit and loss of that is over time? What's my exit point? All these things, but you can test it out. So the hands-on learning of using the paper portfolio opportunity is always my first suggestion. So you can go like feel what it feels like to make the trade, and also emotionally check in on what it feels like to make the trade and what is the fear that comes up if you're doing it yourself. I think understanding that and where it's coming from and like putting some numbers around, if the fear is losing money, let's put some numbers around it. The paper portfolio is a nice way to test that out.
So Jamie, say I'm Susie, who's very much a real estate investor, right? She has a number of properties, handful of properties, knows what she's doing, has been active. And now she's like, you know what? I want to diversify a little bit. I want to be exactly what you're saying. I'm going to go open that account, play with some fake money, if you will, so I can start to build my confidence. What transferable skills does Susie have at her disposal that she may not realize, right, that she could be using from real estate into this, you know, being more effective as a, you know, in the stock market?
One of the first that comes to mind is that anyone who's invested in real estate at least has some handle on numerical risk assessment and understanding risk tolerance in terms of numbers. Like when you're looking at deals, when you're looking at properties, people are running numbers to figure out what return they may be able to make. That's a high probability bet. That's probably one of the biggest things, is I'm looking for what are the high probability bets. And I think that people who are invested in real estate world tend to have built up an intuition for that and how to sift through big risks and not making bets that may have outsized, like very large risks, small probability, but outsized, maybe not worth it. So I think the quantitative balancing of risk assessment is probably the biggest, and trusting our intuition and making those decisions.
So let's say I do not want to be involved into actively trading, but I want to leverage. When I am interviewing a financial advisor or a brokerage or whatever, like the team, right? There's several people on the team. Let's use the financial advisor as an example. What are questions I should ask, and what questions they should be asking me in order to find the right path?
The very first questions they should be asking you are about risk tolerance and risk profile. And I think many financial advisors have like a quiz that they'll give you to help figure out what your risk profile and investing time horizon is. The second thing that comes to mind is they should be presenting you with how many different choices are available, because some financial advisors are only able to offer products from specific firms. And so they might only have 10, 15, or 20 different mutual funds or ETFs that you are even allowed to invest in through them. And the third thing that's really important is understanding the fee structure and making sure that they're transparent about the fee structure with you. So if it's a mutual fund that has a built-in 1% fee or a built-in 1.5% fee, may not sound high, because in real estate world, that's not high, but in stock market investing, that's really high. And so making sure that there are some investment choices in stock market space that have fees that are definitely under 1% is they need to have that available. And if they don't, then interview somebody else.
Is there a sweet spot that you want to see? You mentioned under one, right? Is there a sweet spot in that area?
The cheapest ETFs now are charging only maybe 20 to 25 basis points. So 0.25% would be like on the really low end of the range. I think 0.5% is still pretty good from the investor side of things. But when you start to get above that or closer to 1%, then they're charging you for what they consider to be more, the person offering the mutual fund, offering the ETF, not necessarily a financial advisor, are charging more of a premium fee because their branding is associated with offering a premium product.
In terms of the fee of the financial advisor, where is the sweet spot?
So a lot of them don't charge fees explicitly for investing in stock market or bonds.
Exactly, right? So explicitly.
But they will build it into other parts of your overall portfolio. So they're not going to charge you a commission on you put this percentage in the market. They are going to try to sell you different life insurance policies where they have commission baked in. They're going to try to, they'll help you rebalance 401k investments for free. There are a bunch of things that financial advisors actually do offer for free. So if you're looking for it to be super passive, that opportunity is there. But just be willing to ask the questions about, hey, is there a commission baked into this? Is there a fee baked into this that I can't see? Because sometimes they're not super explicit about that.
Exactly. When you get the proposals, you don't see it. It's like, how the hell are you getting paid? Right. And then it's all baked in.
So Jamie, I want to think about Susie, right? Our made up person who's listening right now. She has a few properties. She's listening to this like, yeah, I get it. I might want to consider the do it myself path, or I can consider this financial planner option. And these are some great suggestions. But I want to take another step back and say, why should Susie consider even the stock market? Because as real estate investors, we're trained to just, quite honestly, invest in real estate. That's like that's the beholden asset that we should only invest in. You are both a real estate investor, I know, and you've been on stock trading for 15 years. So why should Susie, in today's economy, consider investing in the stock market?
If you are Susie, or if you're not Susie and want to know what the answer is, let's hear a word from our sponsors first, and you cannot miss it. All right, Jamie. So for Susie's and no Susie's, why should we even consider the stock market? As real estate investors, we were taught that is like real estate is an asset. You can, it's a concrete thing. And I forbid you to invest in the stock market. So what should you say?
The first is the basics of like the stock market goes up over time. That's just an indisputable fact. And there's all sorts of inflation adjusted charts that you can look at that if you are not invested in the stock market, you are missing the stock market going up over time. So that has been especially true in the last year or two. In the last 12 months, the S&P is up. I think it was in the last 12 months, the S&P is up at least 10%. But on average, inflation adjusted, the stock market's going to make you 8 to 10% a year over a longer time horizon. So that's the first. I think the second is where my professional career has been in the options trading space. And there is a very unique set of opportunities available if you choose to learn options trading, just even at a basic level, where you don't necessarily have to make bets that the stock market's going up. So there is a semi-passive cash flow opportunity available if you choose to use the options space. And that is something that has been gaining popularity, and there's lots of educational resources out there for that. But I think it's two-pronged. That one, you're missing out if you're not in the just bottom line stock market going up, and then there are other ways to add some cash flow on top of that.
I want to go a little bit deeper on the option trading because we don't hear that a lot. Can you give us a specific example and think about like Grandma Susie.
Grandma Susie. Now we've made her older.
Grandma Susie, right? So Grandma Susie wants to understand option trading. Can you give a very specific example? Because our goal here is to really give women tools, options, because real estate might not be penciling out right now. We need to get more tools in our tool belt. And this might or might not be one thing that they should take advantage of, but they should know what that is in depth in order to take advantage of it. So let's break down option trading for a second.
The easiest parallel is that an option contract functions like an insurance contract. So there's two different types of options. One is called a call option. One is called a put option. The put option looks almost exactly like a real life insurance policy. So if I buy an insurance policy on my home, I am paying a premium every 6 or 12 months so that I am going to gain back the value of my asset if its value goes down due to damage or whatever the case may be. But I'm protecting against a potential reduction in the value of my asset. But I pay a premium, a fixed premium every 6 to 12 months to do that. So a put option in the stock market functions exactly the same way. If I buy a put option, I'm paying premium for something that is going to gain value if the stock market goes down. What it actually is giving me the right to do if I buy a put option is I'm buying the right to sell whatever the underlying asset is. So I'm buying the right to sell the stock market. That makes money if it goes down. On the other side of the fence, a call option is like an insurance policy that if I buy it, I'm buying, but that protects in the increase of the value of an asset. So if I pay the premium, I buy a call option, that's going to perform very well if whatever underlying asset is goes up. So that's the basic mechanics, is to think about it like insurance policies. The cash flow opportunity is to become the insurance company and sell the policies.
Because calls and puts I see as like a guardrail, right? You have at the top and at the bottom. But what you're saying now is for us to become the sellers of it and benefit from the profit.
Right. So there's a trade-off. There's a trade-off to this. If you think about it from the buyer, let's say I'm buying the policies. The maximum loss on me buying an insurance policy is whatever the premium I paid is. Same thing with options. Maximum loss is whatever premium I pay. So that feels very comfortable. But you have to also think about what's the probability of the asset actually going to where the insurance policy is profitable. The reason why insurance companies are profitable is because most of the time it doesn't go there. So in options space, if you can think about it like, well, okay, if insurance companies make money by selling these policies, then there is an opportunity to do the same thing with options in the market. The caveat to that is if you are selling these contracts, let's say you're selling the put option that if you bought it, it like protects your downside. If you sell that instead of buy it and the market goes down, there is substantial risk associated with that. So if I like there and to think about it, it's easier to think about it graphically. And there's, again, all sorts of resources. That's a pretty easy Google to find. But if you are going to collect the premium, the trade-off of that is that there is what is it's technically unlimited loss potential. The way that it's maybe best or safest to execute the strategy is you can actually package two different options together. And so I might want to sell one that's a little, maybe I want to sell one of the put options that's a little bit more expensive. And then I'm going to buy a put option that helps protect some of the risk for me in the case where the market does go down a lot. That's kind of a way that I can limit my loss potential by pairing the two options together. But if the market doesn't move, I still net collected cash flow. I net collected premium for that trade.
So this is kind of like a wholesale of stocks, kind of, because I am selling something that I built quote unquote equity into it. And then I'm selling to somebody else. You were saying that the loss would be on me, but once I sell it, all the profits or losses goes with that person, correct?
Well, the profit and losses are being exchanged between the two.
Correct. But then my liability stops when I sell it.
It stops as soon as you close your open position. So if I started one of the key things maybe is that you can sell without owning. You can sell
like wholesaling.
Yep.
That
arbitrage.
Okay,
yeah.
That's why I was trying to understand where. Okay, so I am able to sell it without owning it, and then it reduced my liability basically.
How do I take control of it?
Right. If I don't own it.
If I don't own it.
So this is maybe a major.
Now we became Susie.
I know, totally. We're now Susie on the podcast.
This is the major difference in stock market versus real estate. When you sell something without owning it in your own account, you basically have to borrow it. In stock market world, that is embedded in a term called margin, like the financing of that. But you can sell options contracts, you can sell stocks without owning them first. And the way that that works is essentially you are selling shares that someone else in the market owns and like temporarily borrowing them. But what you would see when you log into your trading account is just, I just sold shares. It doesn't look like you own them and you sold them. It just looks like you sold them. But the practical logistics behind that is actually, it's called a locate. They're locating, the brokerage firm is going to locate shares that somebody else has, loan them to you for the sake of you selling. But the accounting in your own account is I'm just short. I sold shares short, meaning I don't actually have them in my account. I'm just loaning them out.
And this is all under the auspices of really having a handle on the market. Like, we can't predict what's going to happen. None of us can. But I would imagine 15 years, you know, you've had experience in this. If the market is doing this or is about to do this, this is the strategy, whatever that strategy is. I would imagine. Is it that specific? You can't predict, but if it goes this way or goes that way, there's only so many ways it can go. This is the amount of calls and puts and all that good stuff. I'm saying it improperly because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So some of it is that. And I also, there's some that can be overlaid on top of, like, let's say you do own the market, you own an index fund, you own whatever, S&P 500. There is a, like, when the market is just going up and up and up and up over time, some people will supplement their, okay, I'm own the market and it's going up over time. That's great. I'm going to sell call options on top of that to like collect premium. Those two things, if the market goes high enough that the call options are at a loss, what I own underneath it offsets it. And so people really like that strategy. It's called a covered call. It's very, very common when the equities market is going up over time. There are actually ETFs now that have a covered call strategy baked into them. So you don't even have to mess with the options, but it's like a premium injection, a little premium bonus, I guess, that doesn't have that same unlimited loss potential. It's just overlaid on top of a strategy. So that one doesn't require as much market timing. It's not like, oh, I need to make this bet, and if the market doesn't go down, I lose. But the other thing I would say is that probability is a big, big, big part of this equation. So in the same way that you would analyze a real estate investment and say, I think this has an 80 or 90% chance of being a win, maybe not a home run, but a base hit, I will make a trade, an options trade, that's got an 80 to 90% chance of being a winner. And then I need to understand what I need to do. If it goes in that 10% where it isn't, then I know what I need to do to get out, and I just start over.
Woof, take a deep breath. All the Suzus that are listening, let's all take a deep breath here, because this is just a start of really, I have a lot of questions. I wish we had the entire day of freaking workshop visuals so we can like get started and take advantage of all of it. So here are the next steps for you. If you got excited, because I get excited with new information, new techniques, because I don't want to miss the opportunity to really leverage. However, we don't get this information in school or any of my two master's degree that I had, no information about diversification of portfolio whatsoever. That's for another topic. But here's my invitation for you. Jamie's going to come to InvestorCon in Austin, Texas, June 2nd to 4th on a very special panel about alternative investments. We're going to talk about stock market, car wash, ATMs, investing in a women-owned bank. We want to offer you tools and the right people for you to connect with to gain the knowledge and skills for you to really take advantage of your financial future. So we're excited about Jamie. Jamie, what people can expect from you there? I know that we share a lot about it, but you know, the current market changes so much, and sometimes we don't know where we should invest and where we should just like stay away from. So what can we expect?
I'm going to help lay out the parts of the market that are risk opportunities and that may be a better risk profile for people who are just getting started. So more broad-based index funds, ETFs, things like that, that you can access in your own trading accounts. And then also touch on some individual stocks or subsets of the market that are a little bit higher volatility, higher risk, maybe not the best things to be starting out your stock trading investing journey with.
Awesome. So for all of you, we invite you to join us. You can check the entire agenda, Austin, Texas, June 2nd to 4th. Go check it out. We have over 30 keynote speakers and over 500 decision makers coming to this conference. This is not your traditional real estate conference. This is an extremely high level experience for women who want to take control of their financial future. Click the link on our show notes and get your ticket today.
Jamie, thank you so much for being on our show today, and excited to see you in June.
Excited to see you both as well.
All right. Thanks so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.